Well, being filled with the Holy Spirit is this number four. And actually, I've got to number four, and I said there was only going to be four in the series, but I've been so excited over the last week that there may be number five next week, okay? So that'll be the power of the Holy Spirit. But before I start this morning, I'm just going to get a glass of water. So I've been singing too much. No such thing really, is there, singing too much? I want you to relax, all right? I just want you to all relax, because today's going to be, it's not going to be heavy, but there's going to be a revelation for a few people in this and being filled with the Spirit. But I just want you to just relax. I'm going to tell you a joke, all right? And it's a joke, but there's a purpose to this joke. So please don't get offended. If you're going to get offended, what's your email address, honey? BCZRL. Okay. All right. You ready? Let's go. A cowboy walked into a Texas bar. He ordered three bottles of beer, and he sat in the back room drinking a sip out of each one in turn. When he finished them, he came back up to the bar and ordered three more. And the bartender told the cowboy, "You know, a bottle goes flat after I open it. It would taste better if you bought one at a time." And the cowboy replied, "Well, you see, I have two brothers, one in Australia and one in Dublin, and I'm in Texas. And when we're all left home, we promise we'd drink this way to remember the good old days. We drank together. So I drink one for each of my brothers and one for myself." And the bartender admitted this was a nice custom, and he left it there. Well, the cowboy came a regular in the bar and always drank the same way. But one day he ordered only two bottles. And the regulars took notice and fell silent. When he came back to the bar for the second round, the bartender said, "Well, I don't want to intrude on your grief, but I wanted to offer my condolences to your loss." And the cowboy looked puzzled for a moment, and the light dawned on him, and he started to laugh. "Oh, no, everything, but it's just fine," he explained. "It's just that my wife and I joined the Country Christian Church in Longview, and I had to quit drinking. But it hasn't affected my brothers, though." I'll explain it to the youth later, all right? Some of us are like that with our own sin, aren't we? We find ways to get around the truth of who we are and often find excuses for what we have become. And we either continue living a lifestyle that we lived before becoming Christians, or we fall back into it after a while. And then we wonder why God isn't blessing our lives anymore. And as we've studied the Holy Spirit over the last few weeks, we've discovered who the Holy Spirit is, what it means to come under conviction of the Holy Spirit, and the way the Holy Spirit transforms our lives. But we also need to know, what to do after living for God, that we find ourselves entangled in sin and we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit all over again. We also need to understand that when we have talked about the filling of the Holy Spirit, we're simply talking about coming under the full control of the Spirit in our lives. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you." Let's read that again. "Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you." I want you to think of those words. We're all under control of something, whether it be our sinful nature or the Holy Spirit who indwells in all Christians. Now, I don't know about you, but I prefer to be filled by the Holy Spirit and controlled by the Holy Spirit. And this morning I want us to look at three steps that King David took as our example, as how he chose to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And number one, in your outlines, Spirit, empty me of all that is unholy. The two words there, empty and unholy. Now, some of you are familiar with the story of David's fall of sin, but some are not. So in that, I'm just going to briefly retell some of the story. David was a man that had been mightily used by God. In fact, the scriptures tell us that David was a man after God's own heart. Like many of us, David found that there were times in his life when he gave in to temptation and sinned against God. His relationship with God was then fractured and found himself in need of spiritual healing. Now, the most famous case in David's life had to do with that him lusting after a woman called Bathsheba, who was bathing on her rooftop when David could see her. Well, David inquired about her and discovered that she was the wife of Uriah, a Hittite, who was one of David's soldiers who was off at war fighting on David's behalf. Even after discovering that Bathsheba was a married woman, David sent for her and had sexual relations with her. When later she found out that she was pregnant, he called her husband home from the war, thinking that he would sleep with his wife and cover up David's sin. But Uriah didn't sleep with Bathsheba, so David sent him in the front lines of the battle and instructed his army to withdraw quickly so Uriah was killed. So here on David's list of sins, we have lust, we have adultery, we have deceit, and we have murder. Wow. In time, he was brought under heavy conviction for what he had done wrong. I just want to stop there. He was brought under conviction because Nathan the prophet had came to him and told him what he had done wrong. Now, you don't have to be a prophet to tell him what he'd done wrong after seeing what he's doing. But David took that, a bit of information. He could have just rebuked Nathan, but he took that as a man. He took it and started thinking about it. And the Holy Spirit started convicting him about his ways. He knew that his relationship with God wasn't right, so he also knew that to make his relationship whole again, he needed to be emptied of himself and his transgressions against God. And fortunately for us, we have this prayer recorded in Psalm 51. And David starts praying this. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Let's just hear that again. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. That's my God. Because of your great compassion, blot out all the stains of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my shameful deeds. They haunt me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just, for I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the heart, so you can teach me to be wise in my inmost being. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Have you ever prayed like that? God, I recognize my sin and I know I have done wrong, but I ask you to purge me of all wrongdoing. That is about the most honest of a prayer that you'll ever, ever find. It is the kind of prayer we need to pray that when we've sinned against God. It's the kind of prayer that we need to pray when our relationship with him is not what it once was and we find ourselves drifting away from him. It's the kind of prayer that is necessary so that we can remove all of our disobedience, all of our sin and all of our rebellion that we have stored up in our hearts against our Heavenly Father. Now, you might have not have blown it as bad as what David did, but you know and I know that there are times in our lives when we have willfully disobeyed God. And it is in those times that we sense the lack of God's Spirit more than any other. And it's in those times that we must listen to the conviction He is bringing on our hearts and repent our wickedness if we hope to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's get real here. Don't think that when I give an altar call to be filled with the Spirit, you can come up and I will fill you with the Holy Spirit. That anointing may flow. It starts with you and God. The Holy Spirit already indwells in you. I was thinking about it the other day, and I saw the pouring. Sometimes we tend to get, pour it on me, pour it on me, pour it on me. That's not filling. If you get a picture of a jug pouring water into a glass, that's not filling. That's pouring. Filling is already in the glass, and it's just filling up with inside to overflowing. That is filling, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Okay, number two. Spirit, fill me with your presence. Fill and presence is the two words. Spirit, fill me with your presence. Now imagine most of you are familiar with bulimia. If you've either read about it and you know someone who has suffered from it, or perhaps you fell into the dangerous behaviour yourself. The bulimic is a binge eater who, soon after filling their stomachs with food, takes laxatives or forces themselves to vomit in order not to gain any weight. It's obviously a very serious disorder that can lead to some extreme consequences, including death. The bulimic empties himself or herself of what is good and nutritious and beneficial, and ends up sick, unattractive, and unhealthy. And they repeat this behavior over and over and over and over again. Now, the person who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit also empties himself or herself, but they empty themselves of something negative, namely sin. And if that person wants to be filled with the Spirit, he or she will have to put stop to the ungodly behavior and replace it with the presence of the Holy Spirit. In other words, with God's help, we break the pattern of sin that has us in its grasp. And the Spirit-filled person has got rid of what is bad and spiritually unhealthy and has replaced it with what is ultimately good, which is powerful, and which is ultimately righteous. See, when David sinned, he not only told God that he was sorry for what he had done, but he asked for forgiveness. He took the next step, which was saying, God, please don't just remove what is wrong in my life, but fill me back up with what is good. Psalm 51, 8 to 12. Now look out for these four R words. This is taken from the NLT. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me again the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey. This morning, Betty spoke out. I went up to her when we were greeting. I said, thanks for saying that, because I was just about to get up and say something, but it probably wouldn't have come out so nice as what you said it, how you said it. But it's true. God is saying He wants to have us have the joy restored back in us. And part of what He was saying is saying that I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit that is in you. This is a tough crowd this morning. Someone told me, who was it? Someone told me, one of the one of the preachers actually just ends up talking to the back wall here when there's no one out there. Don't worry, I won't do that. I might. Four requests in the Spirit-filled prayer. These four requests summarize what will happen to you when you are filled with the Spirit of God. Number one, I need to rejoice again. David, like us, found out that when he ran away from God, the joy that he once experienced went away also. It is impossible for us to rejoice with God and run from God at the same time. When the Spirit fills us, that joy is renewed. The other one, I need my guilt removed. Now, I think it's important to note that David had already requested that his sins be forgiven. And I believe that he knows that they have been. But guilt is something different entirely. We can be forgiven and still suffer from the feelings of guilt from something that we have done wrong in the past. But when we are filled with the Spirit gives us the assurance that not only are our sins erased from our record, but we are no longer need to feel guilty about those sins ever, ever again. I need my spirit renewed. At this point, David is speaking of the Holy Spirit, but not of the Holy Spirit, but the human spirit. He needed to be lifted back up to the point that he was previous to his sin. Now, when you have sinned against God, it takes something out of you, whether you recognize it or not. You begin to experience a level of withdrawal from what you have been, what had been the norm. And you need to return to the spiritual life you once led. The Holy Spirit will fill you and give you that renewal that you so desperately need. I need a restoration of joy and obedience. I need a restoration of joy and obedience. David prayed that there would be a restoration of the joy of his salvation. Have you ever felt that way? Like the salvation you experience in Christ no longer is all that joyful. That the things in Christ that once excited you and made you look forward to each passing day now have become a routine and boring. If that has happened to you, if that is happening to you, it is not what God wants for your life. It is not. Through the filling of the Spirit, He can bring back the satisfaction of salvation you once enjoyed. But David also asked for restoration of desire to obey God. He knew that we should know, and even after we are filled with the Spirit of God, it is easy to fall back into the lifestyle that we're repenting of. The Spirit will enable us to stay on track. How many of us fall off the tracks? How many of us are liars? If we can pray in these all four areas, we will begin to understand and experience the filling of the Spirit of God. She agrees. He agrees. Baby agrees over there. Number three, Spirit, use me and accomplish your will. Use me to accomplish your will. When we are filled with the Spirit of God, we are not just wanting to get some warm, mushy spiritual feeling. We desire to be used to accomplish God's will. David knew that once the filling took place, God will have expectations of his life. So he continued to praying in this way. In Psalms 51:13-17, he says, I will teach your ways to sinners, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood. O God who saves, I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that I may praise you. You would not be pleased with sacrifices, or I would bring them. If I brought you a burnt offering, you would not accept it. The sacrifice you want is a broken spirit, a broken and repentant heart. O God, you will not despise. See, David is going to use a life from this his point on to lead others who have strayed back into the fold. He promises to teach God's way to sinners. He promises to sing God's forgiveness. He promises to praise God with the lips that have been unsealed. David, filled with the Spirit of God, is going to bring the most important sacrifice of all. He is going to offer himself wholly and completely to the Almighty God. In conclusion, don't think you're getting ready to go because it's not concluded yet, all right? I'm just concluding and all that. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that, that David has prayed? Lord, I will give myself to you. I will turn my mind, my heart, my soul, my strength for you to use in your service from this day forward. I will not hold back. I will turn away. I will not return to the life of sin. With the filling of your Spirit, I am capable and willing to do your will in my life. It's a pretty unselfish prayer, isn't it? God will honour a prayer like that. And he will fill you with his Spirit to overflowing if you'll only turn it all over to him. If you really want to experience being filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got to empty yourself and ask him to fill you afresh of him. God will honour a prayer like that. Now, just a quick wrap-up. Should probably go for 5-10 minutes. Just so you're not in false hopes. Now, how are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Is this just a Pentecostal thing? You know, we hear, oh, it's just the Pentecostals are filled with the Holy Spirit. We're happy clappers. Wave our hands, jump up and down. No. The Holy Spirit is given to everyone who receives Jesus Christ as their Saviour. And they get it whether they want it or not. An important verse to understanding the filling of the Holy Spirit is John 14:16, where Jesus promised the Spirit will indwell believers that have the indwelling and that would have the indwelling and that would be permanent. An impermanent indwelling. As soon as you give your life to the Lord, you have the Holy Spirit. Bam. Right there. It is important to distinguish the indwelling from the filling of the Spirit, though. The permanent indwelling of the Spirit is not for a select but and few believers, but for all believers, as I've just said. There are a number of references in Scripture that support this conclusion. First, the Holy Spirit is a gift to all believers in Jesus without exception. And no conditions are placed on this gift except faith in Christ. John 7:37-39. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." When he said this living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him, but the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into the glory. Second, the Holy Spirit is given at the moment of salvation. In Ephesians 1:13, we hear, "And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit whom he promised long ago. Galatians 3:2 emphasizes the same truth, saying that the sealing of the indwelling of the Spirit took place at the time of believing. It says, let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed in the message that you heard about who? About Jesus Christ. Third, the Holy Spirit indwells believers permanently. Okay, the Holy Spirit is given to believers as a down payment or verification of their future glorification in Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:22, and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us. Wow. Ephesians 4:30, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Amen. Amen. Amen? Woo! This is good stuff. People, remember that sin, it's the sin that hinders the filling of the Holy Spirit. And obedience to God is how the filling of the Spirit is maintained. Ephesians 5:18 commands that we be filled with the Spirit. However, it is not praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit that accomplishes the filling. Only our obedience to God's commands allow the Spirit freedom to work within us. And we must get that. That is the truth. That's what it says in the Bible. Because we are still infected with sin. It is impossible to be filled with the Spirit all of the time. It's impossible. Because when we sin, we should immediately confess it to God and renew our commitment, so being Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. You know, you've heard it before, the watering container with the holes in it. We leak. But God's unfailing love knows that. He knows that. And that's why he wants us to be filled from the inside, not from some other bloke trying to shubba-shubba you. It's between you and God. Don't be fooled. It's a personal experience. It's a personal relationship that you have with God. And God wants to do so much in your lives. He wants to do so much in my life that every time that I do something wrong or I get tempted to do something wrong, I go to him straight away and I go, ooh, and I'm filled with joy. Craig spoke about boldness for these young people. Just the other day I was in hospital with Brooke and there was a lady on the opposite side. I said, Brooke, I said, just watch. I said, how are you going? I started talking to her. I said, do you mind if I pray for you? She had a baby that was 4 months that was bleeding and everything else like that. And I prayed for her and everything. But that's the boldness that God gives us. God gives us divine appointments every single day. And if we're led by the Holy Spirit and we obey the Holy Spirit, you will see amazing things happen. There's so many times when we're half empty. I like to say half full, but half full, and we miss it. But when you're filled with joy, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, because you've gotten yourself right with God, you will see things just transform. We are committed to transformation in Jesus' name. And you will see things happen. Where do I go from there? Totally lost it. Music team, please. I hope you understand and enjoyed the past 4 weeks of the Holy Spirit. I want you to go over your notes and I want you to study them. I want you to study what the Word has to say about this precious gift to each and every one of you. Remember, it's a gift. And everyone has the gift But if you want that gift, all you need to do is to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Tap into it. Open this gift up and use this gift to help you live the life God has planned for you. Next week, I'm going to add one more to the series, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be pretty exciting. But let's all be still right now. Just keep playing, Tristan, thanks. And you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you? Just take this moment. I'm not going to do an altar call. This is between you and God. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Just close your eyes and listen to this. And pray along with me. I'm just going to sing the Psalm of 51. And as I read this out, just go through all your life. Just go through what's been going on in your life this week. And just slowly give everything to God. Seeking forgiveness. And as you do, just feel the Holy Spirit well up inside you. Because it will. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stains of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my shameful deeds. They haunt me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just, for I was born a sinner. Yes, from the very moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from my heart, so you can teach me to be wise in my inmost being. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me again the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Then, Lord, I will start to teach your ways to sinners so they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that I may praise you. You would not be pleased with the sacrifices, or I would bring them. If I brought you burnt offering, you would not accept it. The sacrifice you want is a broken spirit, a broken and repentant heart. O God, you will not despise. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now for each and every one of us. Lord, forgive us for the times when we've looked to man to be filled with the Spirit. But Lord, now that we know, Lord, that your word says that you just want us to be filled and filled and filled to overflowing. Lord, I pray that each and every individual soul that just prayed that prayer of David, Lord, I pray, fill them afresh. fill them afresh right now. Holy Spirit, we pray, just do your stuff. Do your work. Do your work. Just take a moment. Fill us afresh. Thank you, Jesus. Just fill us afresh. Wow. I think we can sing that song, God, I Look to You. Yeah. Those who want to stay seated as we sing this, stay seated. Just get into the presence of the Holy Spirit. Those of you who want to stand and sing joyfully. Now, I hope today as you leave this place that there is a difference in your heart. I pray that each and every will bound out of here. Maybe some of you are doing cartwheels, some of you just don't try to attempt that, but let the joy of the Spirit be felt.